It's just a lightning flashing when the thunder came. Just to glorify the feeling of the pain comes a hard, hard, hard rain. A hard, hard rain. Well, the legacy you left me is wrapped up tight. Tomorrow it might kill me, but I won't let it bother me tonight.
Good morning, Texas, and what a beautiful day it is. I tell you what, Daryl Lee Rush getting things started for us. Hard Rain is the name of that one. And the good Lord only knows that, man, we could use a hard rain all across the state right about now. But you know what? It'll come. Things will change. They always do. Anyway, I'm Cable Smith, welcoming you to the one and only the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Powered by Hoff Power Polaris, loved or hated, but never ignored. We do it every weekend. And man, oh man, what a great weekend it is. Hunting season officially arrived on Thursday with the North and Central Zone dove openers. Over 200,000 Texas hunters have already taken to the fields. Another 50,000 will join them when the South Zone opens up in a couple weeks. I know I've been out there. I was out there Thursday for opening day. I, of course, went back out Friday, and I'll be out there again today as well. But for me, this is the greatest time of the year. It's nonstop hunting until the end of January, and of course we'll mix in some fishing as well, but this truly does mark the beginning of my favorite time of the year. Mixing a little football and a little fishing, it just can't be beat. And, you know, speaking of fishing, we're going to get into a little red fishing talk this morning as John Felsher of Texas Fish and Game Magazine joins us. He's going to break down his recent article, Bass Tactics for Redfish. A lot of folks, myself included, never realized just how many of the baits and techniques used on OHIV, Lake Fork, Choke Canyon, Falcon, Toledo Bend, you name it, just about every other Texas lake. Those bass tactics you use out there, they're going to work on redfish as well, y'all. So John will drop in to talk about some of those traditional bassing techniques that are also effective for redfish. Then since we're already talking about redfish, I figured we might as well get our coastal fishing report from Captain Lynn Girard. I know the Reds have shown up in big numbers, and we'll find out how and where Captain Lynn is whacking the big bulls right now, because if y'all remember our last fishing report with Lynn, he was whacking them pretty good last month, and he said that the Reds were only going to heat up, so we'll see what exactly is going on down there along the Texas coast. After that, we're going to switch things up and discover just how Texas came to have such a great state park system. To me, it's really important to realize the sacrifices and dedication of those conservationists and outdoorsmen that came before us. You know, for me personally, I've hunted, fished, and camped on state park lands all over the Lone Star State, but I never really put much thought into just how those lands were acquired for my use and enjoyment. Well, I never put much thought into it until I read John Jefferson's cover article on the August edition of Texas Parks and Wildlife magazine. It's titled The Golden Age of State Parks, How Texas Acquired a Passel of Iconic Parklands. And I couldn't believe some of the folks mentioned in this article from former Texas Governor John Connally, who was famously wounded in the JFK assassination, to former President Lyndon B. Johnson. I mean, the list goes on and on. And many of us have enjoyed a weekend camping or fishing or hunting or maybe just a day hike in our state park system. And so I'm thrilled to have John join us today to talk about that golden era of Texas park acquisitions. So that's what's on the docket for today. Should be a good one. Couple other things here. Y'all be sure to go to my website and vote for your favorite listener photo. The August vote is going on right now, and one lucky listener will win the November 26th whitetail buck hunt out at Going Day Hunts in Montague County. The website, once again, my website, is LoneStarOutdoorShow.com. And we're also taking entries for the September contest right now. This month's grand prize is the combo duck and goose call package from Cadence Duck Calls, a Texas premier call maker. Each one of these calls retails for over $100, and the winner will get the custom acrylic goose and duck call. They're manufactured right here in Texas in Port Neches. Well, I say manufactured, that's a lie. Charles Smith makes each acrylic call by hand, and they are hands down the best calls I've ever blown. So be sure to send me your best outdoor photo to CableWaco@yahoo.com for your chance to win the Cadence Combo Package for our September Photo of the Month contest. A couple other things to mention. Thursday was not only the beginning of dove season in the North and Central zones, but State Representative Sid Miller's hard work finally came to fruition, as it is now legal, as of Thursday, for landowners to sell helicopter hog hunts. So great stuff there. Also, don't forget, next Saturday marks the beginning of early teal, as well as Texas' first ever early Canada goose season. That opens up next Saturday, so if you haven't already, so now's the time to touch up those old decoys you left laying in the garage floor last January. Let's knock out a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk about one of my other favorite fall activities, and that, of course, is going after big reds along the Texas coast. Up next, it's longtime outdoor writer John Felcher joining us as we dive into bass tactics for redfish. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I got a hot cup of coffee. Gonna watch the world come alive. Surrounded by nature like guns, the innocence of a newborn child.
Howdy folks, I'm Lee Hoffpower for Hoffpower Polaris in Goldthwait, Texas. Now that's a big part of Hoffpower's Outdoor Superstore in Goldthwait. If you're not familiar with us, that's why we're here. We're going to fix that right now. Hoffpower Polaris is proud to be the new presenting sponsor for the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Hoffpower Polaris is the largest Polaris dealer in Texas, and there's a good reason for it. We sell more fun, work, and hunting buggies than anybody else. We have the best overall selection of Polaris products in all of Texas. Everything from a little Polaris 90 for one of the kiddos to ride around, up to a loaded up Polaris crew. If Polaris makes it, we've got it, and we've got more than anybody else in the countryside, and we're going to sell it to you cheaper than anybody else will as well. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com, or you can just click on the link here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show webpage, and it'll take you right to us. By all means, pick up the phone and call us today, too, 1-888-428-7583. And in case you didn't know it, Hoff Parish has been in Central Texas for almost 47 years now, and folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
Listen up, ticket heads. When you harvest that Walworthy trophy, there's only one choice, Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com.
Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's Sutton County, McPherson 4M Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and axis, fallow, and black buck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also part of the experience at McPherson 4M Ranch. Call 210-822-2915. That's 210-822-2915, or visit McPherson4M Ranch. Today.
Hey, this is Jared Allen of Minnesota Vikings, and you're listening to Cable Smith on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Well, my buddy said he'd rather fish in a lake. He doesn't compare to these saltwater bays. Well, I got a little embarrassed when he brought out the cooler, so I brought out my box of my chartreuse lures. Because the weather's nice and the water's right, man, I could fish here all damn night. When you had a bad day and your mind is in a haze, you can clear your head in these salt water bays.
Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Saltwater Bays is the name of that one for my good buddy Brandon Key. Seems fitting here this morning since we're about to get into some bay fishing talk in just a second. But first, I wanted to tell you about my favorite barbecue joint, Rudy's Barbecue. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner and check out one of their four Metroplex locations, including the new Rudy's in front of the Cabela's in Allen. Rudy's, true Texas-style barbecue. Well, without further delay, let's go ahead and talk some redfish here. It's my pleasure to welcome Texas Fish and Game writer John Felcher to the program.
Well, glad to be here, Cable.
John, certainly my pleasure. But since this is your first time on the show, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, including your background in the outdoor industry?
Well, I've been an outdoor writer since 1977. I've written more than 1,550 different magazine articles. I've worked newspapers most of my life. I'm from Louisiana, born and raised. I'm currently in Florida, but trying to get back home after the hurricanes of 05. I had a little odyssey for 6 years, and that's about coming over. So getting back into the Gulf Coast area. I'm very familiar with Texas. I've hunted and fished extensively all over Texas and write for a lot of Texas publications. So Lone Star State is not unfamiliar to me.
Right on. So as you mentioned, John, you write for numerous publications, including Texas Fish and Game magazine. Your latest article, Bass Tactics for Redfish, was very intriguing. It's a great read. And as you mentioned in the article, you know, reservoirs continue to become more and more crowded with anglers searching for that trophy largemouth. And it's understandable. But meanwhile, our Gulf Coast redfish populations are absolutely booming. All the restrictions put in place decades ago really coming to fruition now. And for those out there listening this morning that have hooked up with a big bull red, they know exactly what I'm talking about. That's one of the most exciting battles that you can have as an angler.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. Back in the 80s, redfish was very much overfished along the entire Gulf Coast, and they had a lot of restrictions, including in Texas. I remember in Louisiana not that long ago, we used to count fish by not the number of fish we caught, but by the number of 84-quart ice chests we could fill. We'd come back to the dock and say, how many did you get? I got four. It didn't mean four fish. It meant four ice chests full. So I'm glad we do have the restrictions in place now, because I think red fishing now is better than it has ever been in my entire life, and I've fished for them all my life. If you go out bass fishing, I love bass fishing. I still bass fish, and it's one of my favorite things to do. But when you see a big redfish, 10, 15, even 20 pounds, 25 pounds, explode, especially on a topwater bait, it's like dropping an anvil into the water, and it's just the fight is on then. And once you catch one of those, you won't want to go after those little greenies anymore.
I don't know about that, man. I still love bass fishing. But, John, what about your personal experiences as an angler inspired you to write this article?
Well, this is just something I've done all my entire life. My dad loved to fish redfish, and that's what I grew up doing. And I used to fish bass tournaments, and a lot of times when we're in Louisiana, we're fishing the coastal marshes. It was kind of brackish, and some places you can catch redfish and bass at the same place and the same lures. And I noticed down in these marshes, we were trying to catch bass, and we were throwing spinner baits and topwater baits and worms, and we were catching a few bass. But every now and then, we get a big redfish to hit. And I was riding with Alton Jones in 2001 Bassmaster Classic, which was held in New Orleans, and he went all the way down to the mouth of the Mississippi River, down around Venice. And it was a high tide, so it was more salt than fresh. And he really should have gone there to catch bass, because it wasn't a good time to catch bass at that time, and he didn't really do that well in a tournament. But there were redfish busting all over everywhere. Huh. And he'd throw out a plug or a buzz bait or something like that, get a big redfish. He must have caught 20 or 30 of them. And he said, doggone, we got to move out of here. We got to go find some bass. And I'm thinking, you know, just kind of put me on an island here for a little while, and I'll come back and get me in a few hours. I'll be fine.
Right on. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Alton's a good guy, great angler. But he's been on the show a couple times. Sounds like that morning, though, he was in the wrong spot.
He was in the wrong spot that day. So, but he's a good fisherman. And he won a few years later. So Congratulations, Alton.
Well, so talk about, you know, some of the top waters that are your favorite. And, you know, I know you mentioned in your article you use the traditional walk the dog method, which
right.
is a very well-known bass technique.
Well, anything that a bass will hit, a redfish will hit, and vice versa. In fact, a lot of people, especially up on the East Coast, they call them channel bass. So basically both fish are ambush predators. They get in that grass, they get in that around any kind of structure, pilings or logs in the case of bass, and maybe a rock pile or something for the redfish or anything like that, or an oyster reef. They hide behind cover, and they wait for something to come by, and they smash it. The walk the dog plug, top dog, is one of my favorites. That's a great bait to use, and you fish it just like you're fishing bass. You're going along the shoreline. Redfish like really shallow water.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes their backs stick out of the water, and they're only in 6 inches of water, and you can see them. So a lot of people sight fish, especially down in Texas where the water's really clear, Laguna Madre, places like that. They could sight fish for redfish. They'll see them along the shoreline, and they'll throw a jerk bait or a prop bait or a popper or something like that in front of it. And one of my favorites for catching redfish is a spinner bait.
Right.
Basic spinner bait, bass type of spinner bait, close safety pin type of spinner bait, or an inline spinner bait. Either one of them will work for redfish, and you fish it just the same way. You throw it into the cover, you kind of work it out. It comes over the drop off a little bit. You let it drop and helicopter it up and down, and redfish will really slam it. Mm. Now, I'll tell you something a little bit interesting, a little bit different that a lot of people don't really associate with catching redfish is a plastic frog, like a ribbit frog made out of made there in Texas, Stanley Lure Company, and then other different frog companies too. But you know, you don't really associate a redfish with preying upon frogs naturally,
right?
And because they really don't share the same type of environment. Frogs like more of a freshwater, and redfish is more in salt.
Mm-hmm.
But the redfish doesn't really know it's hitting a frog. All it sees is there's something going across the top, a little buzzing noise, and it's aggravating it. And it's going to hit it. And it looks like it's good to eat, and it's got little legs kicking. It's going to destroy it. So that's one of my favorite topwaters, and especially when the redfish get in that really thick grass and you can't get at them and they're way back and anything else you're going to throw at it is going to just be covered up in grass, that frog will go across the top. And even if the redfish is not actively feeding at that moment, you throw that frog and buzz it across his nose three or four times, he's going to hit something.
See, that's just great insight from years of experience, because I never would have thought to throw a frog at a redfish. And, you know, another thing in the article you mentioned, and it's by far my favorite way to fish for largemouth bass, so that's Texas rigged soft plastics. And you say worms, flukes, basically whatever you'd use for bass, redfish are going to hit that as well.
Oh, yeah. They're mainly bottom feeders. Their mouth points down. They do feed on top. But like a bass looks up and his mouth is kind of pointed up. A redfish, his mouth is pointed down. So he's going around digging in the mud. Crabs, and he's looking for shrimp and anything. Mussels, they eat a lot of mussels. So they see a worm or a jig, something really good bait is a jig, like a craw worm or something like that. It looks like a crab. It's got the two feelers like it's pretending to be or mimicking a crawfish for a freshwater bait. But in saltwater, those two little claws look like a crab. Redfish will just jump all over that with vengeance. They like nothing better than to eat a crab.
Right. So anytime you can drag something along the bottom, stir up some mud, and kind of create a trail that way, you're definitely going to get their attention.
A little scent on the bait there. Redfish do not have very good eyesight. Now, they can detect things that are moving, but they're really not a sight feeder so much. They hear things and they smell things. Their sense of smell is off the charts. So they could smell things. So if you get that Texas rig bait, or a little jig or something like that, put a little sweet sauce on there to give it a little scent, they'll go for it.
Very well. And John, another bait you mentioned in the article, and a very common one here in Texas, obviously, when it gets hot, after that topwater bite dies down in the morning, you got to switch it up. You got to go a little deeper. And one of the best ways to catch bass in the heat of the day is on a Carolina rig. What has been your experience using a Carolina rig for redfish?
Well, usually a Carolina rig will work off of someplace like the jetties. You got a pass like out of Aransas or someplace like that.
So pretty comparable to finding a nice structure point in a reservoir.
Absolutely. And we're not talking 100 feet deep here. We're talking maybe 10 to 15 feet deep,
mm-hmm.
maybe even 6 or 8 feet deep. So it's not terribly deep. But you just work that Carolina rig just exactly like you would out in Lake Fork for bass. You work it off the end of the rocks, and you just drag it along the bottom, and a lot of times the redfish will be in that end of that jetty. And usually on the jetties like that, you're catching bigger reds. You get the big bulls that come in out of the Gulf of Mexico, so you might get a 30, 40, maybe even a 50-pounder on one of those rigs.
I haven't caught one that big yet, but I'm looking forward to the day that I do, that's for sure.
You'll never forget it.
Heck, I haven't forgot the 15-pounder I caught when I was fishing for trout in the upper Laguna Madre back in June, and you know the difference right away between a trout and a redfish, I tell you what.
Oh, no doubt at all, no doubt at all. And a lot of these baits, like the Texas rig worm, a wacky worm, and the Carolina rig will not only catch redfish, but they catch a lot of flounder.
Woo! Stuffed flounder. That is tough to beat, man. Nice bonus there. Now, you mentioned off the air that we're coming into the best time of the year to employ these bass tactics for redfish.
Spring and fall, right. You could catch redfish any time of year in Texas, and you could use these same tactics any time of year. But spring and fall, we're coming up into that now, September through about Thanksgiving. Well, the really peak periods when the redfish are a lot more active. They're in that shallow water. They're looking for bait. They're trying to build up for the wintertime. In the wintertime, they kind of slack off a little bit, and they're not as active. They just get in the cover, and they'll just wait for something to come by them. But that's also a good time to use a jig. They say sometimes you got to almost bump the fish on the nose to make them bite. Well, in the wintertime, that's true. They'll get in that real thick cover, and you just go flipping a jig into that cover, just like you would in bass fishing in Toledo Bend or Lake Sam Rayburn or something like that. And you get it in the right spot, you'll get a good red.
Spinners, jigs, buzz baits, frogs, I mean, soft plastics, you mentioned them all. The great thing is that us bass fishermen out there don't have to restock our tackle boxes to go after redfish. John, really enjoyed reading the article, and it was a treat having you on this morning. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks. Anytime you need to just give me a call. We'll talk about some other things.
Looking forward to it. You take care.
All right, you too.
Well, there he goes. Big round of applause for Texas Fish and Game's John Felsher. Let's work in a quick break here, but when we come back, we aren't straying from the topic of big bull reds. Up next, Captain Lynn Girard joins us for our Texas Coastal Fishing Report, reds, trout, flounder, and a whole lot more coming up only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. TooCoolFishing.com is the place to check out Texas Gulf Coast fishing reports. Join Texas' largest fishing and hunting community, where members share photos, discuss tackle, boating, and more. The Too Cool Blue Water Forum has the latest in offshore action, and our Totally Texas Hunting Forum has informative hunting discussions and reports. Search our directory and classifieds for a local guide, hunting lease, or boat for sale. Join over 40,000 members and learn from the biggest outdoor community in Texas. Visit TooCoolFishing.com today. That's the number 2, CoolFishing.com. Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Prusky's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing is South Texas' premier wild game processor. USDA inspected and approved. They offer choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Prusky's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskysmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Prusky's, from our smokehouse to your house. Quality you remember with the service you deserve.
Hey Texas anglers, Cable Smith here to tell you about my friends at UnderwaterFishLight.com. When Texas A&M University needed a reliable way to attract fish for their studies, you guessed it, they called Underwater Fish Light. Not only do they build the world's highest quality underwater lighting systems, but they actually guarantee the fish in writing. Everyone knows there is no guarantee in fishing, but this is the exception to the rule. Their HID technology works so well that fish are guaranteed in fresh and salt water or your money back. Save 10 bucks when you enter in the promo code LONESTAR at checkout. Call 1-855 Fishlight or visit underwaterfishlight.com.
Hello, my name is Eric Beatty with the Eric Beatty Band. You're listening to my buddy Cable Smith with the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
One of my favorites there, Eric Beatty, welcoming y'all back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Hope y'all's shotgun aim has been true and that you're knocking down plenty of dove this weekend. This segment of the show proudly brought to you by Blue Creek Whitetails, Texas' premier whitetail ranch located just southwest of Houston along 10,000 acres of Colorado River frontage in Wharton County. Blue Creek Ranch is the ideal place for growing free-ranging trophy whitetails. Check out the website, BlueCreekWhitetails.com to book your 2011 hunt today. Well, let's go ahead and jump back into some more redfish talk here, as it's that time of year. September 1st not only means dove season is here, but the bull reds are making their traditional runs as well. And here to give us the lowdown on the Texas coast, it's my pleasure to welcome back Captain Lynn Girard.
Well, it's good to be here.
Great to have you as always, Lynn. Last time we spoke, you guys were whacking the redfish pretty good down there along the Texas coast, and the action is only supposed to get hotter.
Yeah, the redfish have shown up in just large quantities, and size-wise, they're abnormally large, too. They're really fun to catch, and it's been a lot of fun. I've had to change my line about every other day because they stretch it out because they take such long runs and stuff, so people just love it, especially on the grill, too. They love to eat that redfish on a half shell.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. They are tough to beat. Captain Lynn, we just had on John Felcher of Texas Fish and Game magazine, and I know you didn't hear the interview because you're out on the water fishing this morning, but his latest article titled Bass Tactics for Redfish was very insightful. I know that you not only use live bait, but you also use artificials, so have y'all been having good luck catching reds on artificials of late?
Oh, absolutely. We have fun doing that, but the only thing is with the, especially when you're using live bait, now you don't use the same technique as you do with black bass because you can't set the hook quite as much. You have to, the way the mouth is located on a redfish, which is a little lower, you have to be a little more patient and let them take the bait a little bit longer. And sometimes it's hard, especially if you're used to fishing for black bass, not to set the hook so hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, since we were already talking about artificials for redfish earlier on the show, what is your go-to artificial bait?
I like to catch 2000, and I actually myself, I prefer the clear catch 2000, but most people like the redhead, and a lot of noise is good. That's why the top dogs and the she dogs are real good, because they make a lot of noise, and the redfish are definitely attracted to it, the noisy type plugs, and it's just really hot. And of course, in the shallower water, just your Johnson spoons work very well, and it's really kind of, it's fun, so much fun when the water's so clear that, you know, you can see your spoon cutting across the water and you see the fish, and it's just really exciting.
Right on. And I'm assuming that the water clarity is a lot better than it was when I was out there fishing with you in June. Man, was it windy.
Oh, yeah. And actually, if you're getting tired of the heat, it's always nice and cool on the water. So it's good to get away from all the heat and come out and fish.
Well, that is true, my friend. Captain Lynn, at what depth are you locating most of these redfish right now?
Most of the reds are now in the drop-offs, and because the flats are so very hot and the water has, you know, fluctuated high and low, that I fish a little bit deeper. I fish the drop-offs, and the fish, tend to hang around the grass lines. They call them the grass lines and the crash channels, and because it is cooler for them, and when they're in a big school, they're just going to, they're going to stay in one place, and you just kind of follow them along because they're going to, they're eating like crazy because they do spawn in December, and so they're going to eat like crazy until they're spawned. And they actually go out to the Gulf to spawn, whereas the trout come in from the Gulf to spawn. And
so you say you're going a little deeper, because you can catch redfish, up as shallow as 6 inches to 18 inches. Obviously, you're going a little deeper now, targeting the grass lines and drop-offs. So what is that, about the 4 to 6 foot range? So,
yeah, 4 feet, 6 feet. But you do see them in the shallows. But they, as the water in the afternoon, the fish will have a tendency to move into a little deeper water, and then the fight's on, because as soon as you hook one, they head for the flats, and they just take, it seems like they take about 50 yards every single time before they stop, so you can't panic.
Oh, yeah, some of my favorite fishing experiences have been hooking up with a decent-sized redfish. I mean, those things are notorious fighters.
Well, now also we have the drummer coming in now, too. We're starting to pick up a lot of the black drum, which were a delicacy to eat also. And flounder, of course. The flounder are real hot right now. And the trout are actually starting their September spawn, as they call it, where it's the second spawn of the year. And so the trout are in, beautiful size, too, right now. And they're, everything's, this is the best time to fish. I really do believe so.
Oh, no doubt. Captain Lynn, what's the biggest bull red that y'all have pulled in lately?
Once in a while you catch those big bull reds that, you can't really eat them or anything, but boy, I'll tell you, they're giant. We've had one that was 38 inches, and it was like a giant dinosaur, and it took a while to get it in.
Sorry about that. Belle's trying to tell me she's ready to go dove hunting.
He's putting his comment in.
Yeah.
And, of course, the slot for a redfish is 20 to 28 inches. You can keep one over 28. But you wouldn't want to keep a fish that big unless you were going to put it on your wall, which some people do. But when you get a fish oversized and they're between, let's say, 30 to 36 inches, a lot of times they're still nice and red, and they're really beautiful, and a lot of people do fish for, you know, that trophy.
Yeah, and I know that you actually told me a story where you had a couple come fish with you from out of town. You put them on one trophy redfish, they caught it, said, all right, we're done, ready to go back in.
Yeah, the guy from Sacramento, California, matter of fact, he fished for 15 minutes, he snapped his line on one fish, and then caught the next fish, which was 33 inches, and he said, I'm done. Let's go. That was it.
Hey, Captain Lynn, how is this potential weather change going to affect the fishing along the coast?
And as this storm comes up this weekend, everything's going to be for the better fishing wise. It's just going to put a little less salinity in the water. The fish will be more aggressive, and the fishing is actually going to be much better in the next couple of weeks.
And it's already been on fire.
Yeah, and it won't be quite as hot either. So
It's tough to beat a nice cool day of great fishing. Now, are you still using piggy perch primarily as your live bait option?
Well, I always check inside a fish to see what it's eating all the time, you know, and of course, you know, when you find out what they're feeding on, you're going to switch to that, you know, to that bait. And so we've been have a tendency to use a little more live shrimp right now because there's the brown shrimp are just, you know, in great numbers in the Laguna Madre and toward the bays and stuff. And so, you know, obviously if that's what they're feeding on, then that's what you want to use. So we're using live shrimp a little bit more than piggy perch, but we switch around. When you want to catch the trout a little bit more, you'll use the piggy perch.
Mm-hmm.
Fish, mostly shrimp right now.
Well, it sounds like you've got them patterned pretty good, and of course, I'd expect nothing less. Y'all be sure to visit the website, CaptainLynnsFishing.com. I fish with Lynn, of course. No one better to take you out. He fishes from Corpus Christi Bay all the way up to the land cut.
Yeah, the fish are real close right now, too. They're more or less in the upper Laguna Madre, so it's not a far run. You don't have to, you know, you can come and get out of the heat and come and fish. On the cool water. So
you bet. Captain Lynn, always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, Cable. Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon, and man, I can't wait to get back down there and fish with you sometime this month.
Yeah, I hope you do.
You can count on it. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, there he goes, everybody's favorite Bay Captain, Lynn Girard. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, a real treat for you Texas outdoors men and women, as we discover just how our state came to have such a great state park system that we can enjoy hunting, fishing, and camping in. Up next, it's longtime outdoor writer and former Texas Parks and Wildlife official John Jefferson. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
So call up Trudy on the telephone. Send her a letter in the mail. Well, I'm hung up in Dallas.
Hey San Antonio, great news for full-size truck buyers. I'm Vic Vaughn, owner of Toyota Bernie. When you're driving up I-10 to Toyota Bernie, you'll see that we've got hundreds and hundreds of new Tundras in stock on sale for immediate delivery right here in Bernie. That's right, over 200 new Tundras at Toyota Bernie in stock ready to go. That's why we're the number 2 Tundra dealer in the nation. I-10, exit 543 in Bernie. Call us 870-1800.
Another Texas whitetail season is in the books, but that doesn't mean it's time to put down the bow or rifle. Located in Mason County's beautiful hill country, Star S Ranch offers world-class accommodations and the finest exotic hunting in North America. Offering hunts for axis, black buck, fallow deer, and audat, Star S Ranch even has super exotics such as sable, gemsbuck, and scimitar horned oryx. Visit star-s-ranch.com or call 830-285-8753 to book your hunt today. That's 830-285-8753. All right, y'all. Spring is here, temperatures are rising, and that means you need to be thinking about your air conditioning unit. It's time you gave Texas Air Masters a call. If it's not the best service you've ever had, it's free. They've got an A rating with the Better Business Bureau and Angie's List. Texas Air Masters offers a $19 service call anytime. They're open 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Give them a call at 210-693-7651. Or check them out at TexasAirMasters.com. Also, they provide free service calls for all of our servicemen and women, law enforcement, fire department, and of course, military. They're taking care of the good guys. That's right, Texas Air Masters, your air conditioning company. Rockport Marine is the Gulf Coast premier boat dealership, offering the finest lineup of saltwater fishing boats anywhere. Transport, Sundance Kits, Yellowfin Yachts, and Andros Boatworks. Yep, you'll find them all at Rockport Marine. And Evinrude and Yamaha Authorized Service Center. They also do power pole, trolling motor, and electronic sales and installations. Located in Rockport's beautiful Cove Harbor, stop by or visit rockportmarine.net today. Also specializing in Evinrude outboard sales, Rockport Marine, your one-stop boating center in Rockport, Texas.
The whites of your knuckles, and I've seen the blood in your spit. You can give up, you can give in, but you can never quit. You can never quit.
All right, Austin, Texas is the band of heathens, bringing us back here on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Powered by Hoff Power Polaris, I'm Cable Smith. Thrilled to be riding shotgun with you this weekend. This segment of the show is proudly brought to you by Howa Precision Rifles, the official rifle of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Be sure to check out their full lineup of rifles at www.legacysports.com. Well, my next guest is one that I'm very excited about. His recent article on the history of our state park system graced the cover of the August edition of Texas Parks and Wildlife Magazine, one of my favorite publications, by the way. It's my pleasure to welcome John Jefferson to the show.
Well, thank you, Cable. I appreciate it. Appreciate your interest in this subject.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. And I wanted to have you on to talk about your feature article in the latest edition of Texas Parks and Wildlife Magazine. But before we get into that, I'd like for our listeners to get to know you a little bit. You actually used to work for Texas Parks and Wildlife.
That's right. Back in the late 70s. I started off as a regulations coordinator working with the hunting and fishing proclamations. Did that for about a year, and there was an opening in the information and education branch, and I applied for it and was named the division director.
Okay, and then John, how did you transition into writing freelance articles like this one?
I'm not sure I understand it all. I majored in English at Oxford on the Brazos, that's in College Station, and I came out of A&M with a degree in English, wanted to be a writer, had no idea how to do that. I'd hung out with a bunch of writers in college, and I was sort of tagging along after them, but I was a hunter, and I had files of available hunting leases for my own benefit, and I started getting calls, and one of them was from somewhere in the North Texas area wanting information on a place to hunt. And I dug through my files and gave him some, closed the file, and I looked over at my wife and I said, you know, I've got enough information to write a book. And she said, why don't you? So that started it. And then I gravitated into magazine work and really enjoyed that because I had been trying to become a photographer by that time. And magazine work gave me the opportunity then to submit articles as well as photographs to illustrate them. And newspapers back then, the Cable, as you probably know, were not using color photographs. Everything they ran was black and white. I felt like I had a better chance of marketing some of my pictures to magazines since they used color pictures. So that's the way it all got started.
Right on, John. Well, let's go ahead and dive into this article because I think it's so important for people to understand why things are the way they are. And your recent Texas Parks and Wildlife Magazine cover article, The Golden Age of State Parks, How Texas Acquired a Passel of Iconic Parklands, a great article. You know, whether you're listening out there this morning and you've day hiked to an Enchanted Rock, fished the Devil's River, or spent a week out at Big Bend, chances are most of us at some point have experienced the beauty and wildness of our state park system, and your article explains just how Texas came to acquire these lands. So, John, what inspired you to write this article?
Money. I do anywhere from 3 to 5 articles for Parks and Wildlife magazine a year, and they asked me if I would do this one. They throw things my way from time to time when they think maybe I either have some peculiar knowledge, most of my knowledge is peculiar, or maybe have some contacts in the field. And they asked me if I would be interested in doing it. And I have been a park user for many, many years. And so I jumped at it. I thought it was a great opportunity. And I actually was a legislative correspondent for a legislative reporting firm when the legislation passed that merged the defunct Texas State Parks Board with the Texas Game and Fish Commission to form what is now Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. So I was sort of there when all that happened and was definitely interested in that.
Well, I'm sure that you had to do some research for the article, but you probably already had most of that knowledge just from your experiences with the department.
Well, I think that's what I thought when I got started on it, and it didn't take me long to realize how little I knew. And I have probably spent more hours researching this magazine article than any two or three that I've ever done. I had to, the Parks Division was helpful, but they didn't have the information in one file. And I had to take some of their things and make up my own worksheets on which park was acquired when and break that down into different areas to see just when this golden age of park acquisition was and what all was acquired, and then compare that to what had happened in the nearly 100 years before that.
Okay, and the golden age of park acquisitions you define as 1963 through 88. Prior to that, the 100 years before, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot going on.
No, it really wasn't. Lost my figure. No, here it is. Looking at my worksheet, total before, in the 79 years before 1963, was 42 parks. And after that, 63 more were developed in the next 25 years. So you can see it was just a dynamic era of park acquisition and growth.
Mm-hmm. And now, John, for all the Red Raider fans out there, they probably don't know just how instrumental Texas Tech was in establishing not only Texas Parks and Wildlife, but also really catering towards students that wanted to major in wildlife biology.
This was one of the disappointing things in starting the research. I made a list of all the people that I knew that had played a part in this, and certainly Mark Gosden, who was the head of the research at Tech at that time on state parks. Mark Gosden was very near the top of the list. And another man who was very instrumental, and we can talk about him later, was at that time Senator Don Kennard from Fort Worth. As I started into this, I knew Senator Kennard had been sick, and I didn't want to call his wife up and say, "Well, how's your husband doing today?" So I went through Bob Armstrong, who also was a big player in some of the acquisitions. He had been commissioner of the General Land Office, and also later was a Parks and Wildlife Commissioner. I called him and I asked him if it was possible to talk to Senator Kennard. And Bob was hesitant for a minute, and he said, "John, he died this morning."
Hmm.
So that was a disappointment. 2 days later, I met with Johnny Buck, who I mentioned in the article, who had been very active in parks acquisition as an employee of the department. Johnny was a real soldier. He put his shoulder to the plow in many different areas and was very popular with the staff because of his work ethic and his pleasant nature. But I was visiting with Johnny out at his ranch about some of this, and I said, "How can I get in touch with Mark Gosden?" And I had three Gosdens in the phone book. I wasn't sure which one it was. Johnny told me which one. That was Saturday. I started to call him Sunday after church, but I didn't. Open Monday morning's paper, and Mark Gosden had died too. So
wow.
There were two of the really key players in this that both passed away the week that I really got started on. But back to your question about Mark Gosden, they had asked Tech, they contracted with Tech to study the needs of the state park system, not only as far as maintenance funds for existing parks, but also for acquisition. And Mark had a young man working for him, named Paul Schlipper. And Paul and I got to be pretty good friends when I was working there. Paul ended up being director of the Parks Division.
Uh-huh.
And he and Mark worked on the study. And then very shortly after it was completed, when that study was the basis for merging the two state agencies together, the Parks Board and Game, Fish, and Oyster Commission, Mark and Paul both moved to Austin and were very instrumental in the growth for the next 25 years.
Huh. And wasn't Texas Tech the first university to offer students a state parks degree option?
That is right. And that kind of surprised me. Tech may be the only major university in Texas that isn't listed on my sort of comical resume. And that always struck me as strange because I don't want to insult any of your listeners who may be from Lubbock, but that's not exactly the garden spot of Texas.
Right.
It's kind of an anomaly to think of Lubbock, Texas as the birthplace of the state park system, and it wasn't, but at least it was the situs of the park study that led to the wonderful park system we have today.
So there you go, all your Red Raider fans out there. Your university instrumental in helping Texas acquire all these beautiful state parks. Now that we have a little background on the story, let's take a quick break, and y'all won't believe some of the names who are key figures in our golden age of state park acquisitions. Governor John Connally, famously wounded during the JFK assassination. Also, President Lyndon B. Johnson, among others. We'll get into all that coming up here in a second. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from John Jefferson as we're talking about the golden era of Texas State Park System. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
These hills are my own flesh and bones. They're all that I love and they're all that I've known. So please don't ask me to destroy my home. I'm not gonna choose between my heart and my soul, so call up the captain, tell him I ain't coming in. He can dig his own coal, something else is happening.
As hunters, it's our duty to be good stewards to our wildlife. Providing a reliable, consistent water source is a big part of that, and Oasis Wildlife Watering System's portable yet rugged polyethylene design is simply the best way to accomplish that goal. Water sources reduce animals' range, thus increasing harvest opportunity. Oasis conditions deer to recognize the unit as a watering source and allows you to move them around your property. You can also add mineral supplements or medicine to the water. The 5,500 or 200-gallon Oasis vacuum units have no moving parts. Check them out at oasiswildlife.com or call 409-753-2295 today.
Captain Len here with your coastal report from the Laguna Madre, where it's cool on the water and the fishing is hot. Matter of fact, the redfish have shown up in large numbers. The trout are starting the September spawn with black drum and flounder in the mix. We have averaged 50 to 80 pounds, depending on how many people are fishing. And also, we have a no fish, no pay policy. In fact, if you don't catch any fish, you can have my boat.
Cable Smith here, and I've fished with Captain Lynn. And he's not kidding. If you don't catch any fish, you can have his boat. Call Captain Lynn at 361-563-9806 or check him out online at CaptainLynnsFishing.com. Cable Smith here for Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. Over the past decade, Magnolite has continued to support our troops, but now they have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs. Like the 35-watt HID camouflage Go Light Striker with handheld remote. That's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand. Ideal for predator and hog hunting. They also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. So go Texan and go Magnolite. Check them out at www.magnolite.com for all your outdoor lighting needs. Howdy, Texas hunters. Texans have deep-rooted traditions that kick off every hunting season, whether you're planning a workday at the lease or getting the party list together for opening weekend of dove season. It's all part of the annual tradition. I want to tell you about a company that's becoming a part of my annual tradition, and that's GameGuard. GameGuard's been family-owned and operated in Texas since 2003 and is quickly becoming the first choice in apparel for Texas hunters. Dove season is fast approaching, and with this summer that we're having, the GameGuard vent-back shirt is a must to stay cool. And oh, don't forget to ice down your favorite beverage in the GameGuard cooler bag. GameGuard Camouflage is committed to quality and dedicated to their loyal customers and would love to be a part of your family tradition. GameGuard can be found in many fine retailers or on the web at GameGuard.net. And by the way, thanks for supporting a Texas-based company.
Let us take off our hats to our brothers in arms and the chances that they never had. We are blessed in the bounty of Texas tonight. Let us drink to those who marched that road to Goliad.
All right, Goliad is the name of that Brian Burns number. Great stuff there, bringing us back from break. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for tuning in to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, where we are talking about Texas golden age of state park acquisitions. Our buddy John Jefferson is still here with us. John penned the cover article on the latest Texas Parks and Wildlife magazine, The Golden Age of State Parks, How Texas Acquired a Passel of Iconic Parklands. It's a great read. I strongly suggest that you check it out. It explains just how Texas came to acquire over 600,000 acres of parklands that we Texans get to hunt, fish, hike, and camp in. And before the break, I mentioned that some very prominent figures saw the vision for our state park system. Folks like Governor John Connally, who was famously wounded in the JFK assassination in Dallas. Also, Lyndon B. Johnson, a former president, is mentioned in the article, kind of in a more humorous manner. John, I'll go ahead and let you tell us about the infamous dove hunt with LBJ.
A couple of game wardens were dove hunting on a piece of land. One of them was the captain, and the other one was a young game warden that worked for him. At sundown, they quit shooting and started back to their trucks. And they heard shooting on an adjoining place, and it sounded like the Mekong Delta or something. A lot of shooting. And the captain said, get on over there and see what's going on. And the warden went over there, and he confronted these hunters, and one of them told him bluntly, said, "You have no authority here. This is my land, and we don't need to show you our game birds or anything." And the warden was really miffed, but he realized he was dealing with somebody who acted pretty powerful. And that man later was, well, I guess at that time, he was county judge of Blanco County. But the warden went back to his captain to ask advice, and the captain said, no, that's wrong. Let's go back over there. So they did, and the men reluctantly opened their game bags or the cooler or whatever they had, and they were way over the limit in doves. So the captain just nodded to the warden and said, write them up. So he wrote a ticket to the man driving the big Lincoln, and when he finished writing that one, and I'll just use an abbreviation here, he said, "Who's the big-eared SOB in the front seat?" And as it turned out, that person was Vice President Lyndon Johnson. Huh. And Johnson was really miffed over that. He wanted the game warden fired, and the executive director of Parks and Wildlife declined to fire him. He said the man was out of line. He has been disciplined. He was suspended. And he said, we apologize, but he's not going to be fired. And he ended up becoming a very, very popular warden. He was an excellent warden, and he did a lot of work in the public school system. And he probably did a lot of good for the department through that kind of activity. But anyway, when the legislation passed that merged the Parks Board with the Game and Fish Commission, it gave the governor the power to appoint a new commission for the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and the commission had the right to select their executive director, and they declined to hire the former director of the Game and Fish Commission, who had refused to fire the man who insulted Lyndon Johnson. Hmm. And there was some talk that that was a consideration, and a lot of buzz around the Capitol. There was a best-selling book at that time written about it, and written about Lyndon Johnson, and it talked about that in length.
Very interesting stuff there. Lyndon B. Johnson, dove hunting, somehow impacting the history of our state park system. So through the 60s, 70s, 80s, Texas Parks and Wildlife kept adding state parks at a pretty good clip, including Caprock Canyons, Enchanted Rock, Sea Rim, Mustang Island, Pernalis Falls, and so many others. And then it kind of was capped off by the addition of Big Bend State Park in 1988.
Yes, it did put an end to it, Cable, but at the same time, it had set the pace and gave an impetus to the developing state park system and sort of paved the way for some of the acquisitions after that. The acquisitions since then have not been that dramatic.
John, something else that isn't really mentioned in the article, but the importance of the state park acquisitions for hunters and outdoorsmen, you know, these acquisitions provide hundreds of thousands of acres for outdoorsmen and women to get out there and hunt and fish. You know, the state draw system for hunting opportunities, that makes a lot of money for Texas Parks and Wildlife. You know, I put in for 4 draws myself this year, and 3 of those hunts were actually being conducted on places that were acquired during the golden era of state park acquisitions.
I have been drawn as a standby on Garner State Park. I guess I was the next runner-up for a doe hunt on Garner, and somebody couldn't come, and they called me, and my son and I got to hunt on. I had been applying most years since my first year in Austin in 1958, and I have never been drawn for a buck hunt. At one time, I had counted 17 times I'd applied, and the next year, I think, Parks and Wildlife wrote an article about some man who held the record at 18, and he finally got drawn. I still haven't been drawn. I accuse the people in that manage the public hunt system of having something against me, but I don't think that's right. They're all good people. That shows they're running an honest game.
That is true. We know the revenue generated from the draw system is essential. I mean, Texas Parks and Wildlife counts on those funds each year just to, you know, help with their everyday operations.
That's true. And in the article, I think it mentioned that this helped some of the non-hunters to understand hunters a little better, because hunters are naturalists. They're conservationists. They're not what a lot of people once thought they were. And maybe some of them, you know, did do things years ago that have created the wrong image. But this caused the non-hunters to realize, especially through some of the public hearings on allowing hunting, that a lot of these hunters had been going to state parks for years. I was certainly one of them, but hunters are interested in everything that goes on in the outdoors. It's not just about killing animals.
That is exactly right, John. And there's so much more info in this article. You know, so many people made sacrifices. John Gosden, you said, obviously, of Texas Tech, Governor John Connally, Senator Kennard, who basically sacrificed his political career by sponsoring a bill that put a 1-cent tax on cigarettes. And that 1 cent went directly back to Texas Parks and Wildlife, which was then matched by the federal government. And many of the monies raised through that tax were then used to buy state parks on down the line in that golden era from 1963 to 1988. But it's folks like those who had the vision as conservationists that resulted in our great state park system, where we now have over 600,000 acres statewide. John, I really appreciate your contribution, doing the research, putting this all on paper so that we can understand the history of our state park system. It's been a real pleasure visiting with you this morning.
Well, I've enjoyed it, Cable. Thank you very much for having me on.
You bet, and I'll be looking forward to your next article.
All right.
Well, there he goes, one of our state's finest outdoor writers, a true resource, John Jefferson. I sure appreciate his time this morning, as well as our other guests, John Felsher, and, of course, Captain Lynn Girard. Next week, I have a couple of very special guests lined up. Albert Zertouche, who 2 weeks ago caught a pending world record tiger shark off Bob Hall Pier in Corpus Christi. The fish was over 12.5 feet long, and Albert will tell us all about that epic battle. Also, former Texas Ranger pitcher and baseball Hall of Fame member Ferguson Jenkins joins us. Old Fergie is a lifelong outdoorsman, and I know he's got some great stories to share with us, so I'm looking forward to that. You won't want to miss it. If you do, though, don't forget all of our shows are available for free on iTunes. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea waves crashing while I watch the cannons flashing. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston.
Alamo Cycleplex didn't become South Texas' number one volume dealer overnight. We did it by providing the best deals and awesome customer service for over 40 years. We carry Honda, Polaris, Suzuki, Kawasaki, and Yamaha, including units for both street and dirt. And of course, Polaris Rangers, Razors, and ATVs. No matter what you're looking for, Alamo Cycleplex will accommodate you. We even have the bad to the bone Polaris Ranger crew on sale today. Call 210-696-2000 or visit us at alamocycleplex.com.